Coming to you from the bottom of Lake Agassiz. Welcome to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear, a former game warden and outreach biologist for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. And each and every weekend, I have the sincere blessed opportunity to talk about the outdoors. And I say that on the radio, and I say that at the coffee shops, gas stations, grocery stores, restaurants, wherever you bump into me in the back of church on Sunday, I say, I love to talk about the outdoors. I don't spend nearly as much time as I would like actually out there hunting and fishing. And it's a stage of life, but one thing that I do get to do is talk about the outdoors, and I love bringing the outdoors to life. I love bringing to you the wildlife managers, the Randy Kryls, the fisheries managers, Greg Power, the chief of the fisheries division for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, to help you better digest and understand what is going on in the outdoors of the Midwest and in North Dakota. So that's what we do, is we don't bring in the expert and tell you, here's what you got to do to catch more fish this year. There's a lot of information out there on that, and I'm not the guy. I'm a hook and bobber kind of a guy. I love to kick back. And for me, the relaxation part of fishing is not making it complicated. That's the beauty of the outdoors, is there's guys and gals that love to use the intricacies and the latest and the greatest gadgets and technology. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But my part of the outdoors world is peace, quiet, outdoors, coffee, soda pop, jerky, and just enjoying a little time on the other side of the window. But we're not all like that. And that's what I appreciate, is you folks letting me know where you're going and what you're doing. How can you do that? Shoot me an email. It's outdoorslive@gmail.com. Outdoorslive@gmail.com. Bob Timian is the chief game warden for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. And we look at the recent years in game warden and enforcement activity, Bob. It's been a very busy time for your game wardens across North Dakota, hasn't it?
The last few years have been, the business has increased over the last few years, and we're expecting that it'll probably stay at that level for the foreseeable future.
Maybe I didn't give as much as I should have. Bob Timian is the chief game warden for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. We're going to walk through the recent history of enforcement action and activity in North Dakota. Give you a better understanding. This is what the game wardens are finding. Here's some of the problems that are going on. And when you look at the statistics, what was the most often written violation citation that's found by your game wardens, Bob?
At or near the top again this year was fishing without a license, both resident and non-resident. That was, it's kind of a surprise again this year.
From your vantage point and insight, Bob, is there any particular reason why fishing without a license may be the most cited offense? It might be the most regular or common violation that game wardens have found, Bob?
Well, it's been now 2 years, and we're kind of puzzled as to the reason, because fishing licenses, as far as the cost, they're pretty much a bargain. You get, for relatively small amount of money, a license that you can use 12 months a year. There's no quota on them. If you want a license, you can get one. And the people, both residents and non-residents, come into this state. I don't know anywhere where you don't have to have a license. And we have had, last year we tried to have a larger presence out there with an informational campaign, in the media, to alert people that if you're going to fish, or if you're going to hunt or fish in North Dakota, you need to buy a license. And that if you're not sure of your residency status, contact us and we'll help you assess whether you need to buy a resident or non-resident license.
Bob Timian is the chief game warden for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, talking about violations and the most common violation 2 years running, fishing without a license. Some of the potential reason for that is people moving to North Dakota, unsure of residency. And rather than just continue on the trail, I know Game and Fish and the legislative body have come together to address and to work on the situation, haven't they, Bob?
Yeah, it's not a total solution as far as residency, and it's mostly around making sure people that buy resident license are in fact residents of the state. But as of April of this year, the new law that was passed last session will go into effect, in that anyone 18 years of age or older making application or buying a resident North Dakota license will need to supply either a North Dakota driver's license number or a North Dakota ID number through the Department of Transportation. Now, that is not a total answer, but it is an effort to try to reduce the number of persons purchasing non-resident licenses when in fact they are non-residents.
And that's something that we're looking forward to seeing and to helping out with, that because I know from my past work as a game warden, the goal for the game warden is not to go out there and write citations to everybody that they come across and try to find fishing without a license around every corner. But the numbers show that it's been a significant increase and a significant issue. And there is steps being done from enforcement and from the legislature to help work through that potential problem of non-residents not knowing that they do need to have a resident or a non-resident or a resident fishing license, help to make that determination of what their residency is. I want to share one quick story as we get closer to the break here. An explanation from a game warden's point of view is people saying, well, what's fishing? If I go out this spring, take a nephew or a neighbor kid out there fishing and he's casting and he gets snagged and I help him reel it in, do I need a fishing license? And I go back to what you said as well, Bob, is that the fishing license is such a small percent of what it costs to go out fishing, from bait, tackle, rods, reels, gas. There's plenty of expenses that go into it, and the fishing license is such a small part of it. And when you're telling the game warden, as he is watching you reel in the line, that you weren't fishing, you were helping fish, if you want to help yourself out, buy a fishing license rather than try to say, well, I had this youngster and I was just helping them fish. At what point does helping become fishing? It's not fishing just when you actually catch a fish. Or a lot of times I might never be considered fishing. No, I catch fish. But you get my point, is it's not just simply hunting when you actually hit a deer, a duck, or a pheasant. It's not just simply fishing when you reel in and catch a fish. When you're casting and you're retrieving, you're fishing. Bob Timian, the Chief Game Warden for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, is our guest on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Increased activity across western North Dakota, impacts to enforcement work? Bob weighs in next on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the mighty 790 KFGO. And welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear, a former game warden, a current biologist for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I would encourage you to log on to KFGO.com and check out the Outdoors Live page, where you can find blogs updated at least twice, three times a week, with some of the latest news and information from the outdoors world. And if you missed this program, it's podcast, thanks to our good friend Bob Harris, the executive producer of the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. You can catch podcasts of this program. Download it, listen to it, digest it, chew it up. Don't spit it out. And please, by all means, we practice good manners. At least we try to encourage good manners on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Something for you to chew on, and that's kind of what we focus the program around, is to give you something to think about whether you're out ice fishing in the shack, driving down the road, working in the garage, driving down the highway, cruising the back roads, wherever you're listening to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. We do try to give you something to think about and to give you a little better understanding of the outdoors in your backyard. And still to come, we'll be bringing you a Central Dakota Outdoors report with Pat Stockdale. She connects with the guides, the lake resorts, and gives you a little better understanding of the fishing and outdoor activities across North Dakota. And CJ Johnson does the same thing for Minnesota. Give you something consumptive to give you an understanding of how the fishing is going. Right now, we're joined by the chief game warden for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, Bob Timian. If you missed the first part of the program, we were talking about some of the common violations. Fishing without a license, the most common violation found by game wardens in North Dakota. Let me ask you, Bob, is the expansion of activity in all walks of life across specifically Western North Dakota and what you see from the Game and Fish Department's Enforcement Division?
I mean, certainly the West and especially Northwest has been the major area of increase in activity, but that doesn't mean that there isn't the rest of the state. You know, there's still all the normal work that we do, and in the last few years, people have, been hearing about aquatic nuisance species.
Sure.
That's an area that we've moved into and within enforcement more aggressively in the last few years, and that is mostly in the eastern part of the state is our highest threat area for ANS coming into the state, so that's where we concentrate those efforts.
I know I'm not breaking any news to you, Bob, because I know your guys and gals out there on the ground and our entire Game and Fish Department have seen, heard about the increase in activity on our wildlife management areas, the camping and squatting on places in Western North Dakota, just for people to looking for a place to camp and to spend extra time. And similar with people new to North Dakota, not knowing where to go hunting, where to find recreation. There's a lot of attention and focus on wildlife management areas, the shrinking of plots. It's just across the board, our wildlife management areas are absorbing a lot more activity, aren't they?
One of the areas of concern, areas of concern, especially in the West, is the amount of traffic, non-hunting and fishing related, and the associated activities occurring on our wildlife management area. In fact, we have been forced to put some more stringent regulations on those wildlife management areas in certain impacted areas, in an effort to try to keep those management areas functioning as they were originally intended. Those regulations, coupled with targeted enforcement on certain WMAs, seem to have produced some positive results. We're going to continue that. Is just the amount of littering that occurs, glass bottles and just regular littering that occurs, and extended camping that pushes out the normal hunters and fishermen, some of those things.
As we focused on Northwestern and Western North Dakota, that's not the only spot.
So, I mean, they still are working across the state. And one of the things that, that we do that maybe a lot of people don't realize is, especially in rural areas where, and this has been as long as I've been a warden, in rural areas where sheriff's departments or police, local police departments are, small shops, we're part of the law enforcement community, and we get called on to assist them in a variety of public safety issues. And of course, we do get, when we need assistance, it's reciprocal. It's not a one-way street. But, people may be surprised to learn about all the activities that wardens are involved with in public safety. Not just, that is our primary job, and that is our focus, but as part of the law enforcement community, when we get called on to assist in an area that where public safety is a concern, absolutely we do respond.
He's Bob Timmy, and I'm Doug Lear. This is the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Bob is the enforcement chief for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Bob, as we wind things down here, if people see violations, if they're concerned about something going on outdoors, the Report All Poachers program is a very valuable tool for them, you, and your game wardens.
Yes, the report on porches program has been around for a number of years, I think in excess of 30 years now. It's called Report All Poachers, and that's what it is. But poaching used to be thought of as, you know, shooting like deer out of season.
Sure.
It can be fishing also. You know, any violation of the game and fish rules, laws that impact the resources of North Dakota are part of the RAP program. So if you see something that is illegal activity or suspected illegal activity, absolutely. We would like you to call it in and give us whatever information you can. We're not asking you to become law enforcement officers. What I'm saying is just report, don't confront. As the workload increases, the challenges increases, as this relatively small law enforcement force is of less than one officer per county statewide, we continually look to how we can improve our efficiency. And, you know, one of the ways, obviously, which you already mentioned, is a RAP program and getting the public to report suspected violations. Some of the other ways is there innovations in technology that we can use as a force multiplier? And just where can we best spend our time? Of course, all of this, you know, we have, must be done within the constraints of the budget we have to work with.
Thank you for your time. Bob Timian, the Chief Game Warden for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Coming up next on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, where to go, what to do outdoors in North Dakota. Pat Stockdill with a Central Dakota Outdoors Report is next on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. And welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. One of the big, big winter discussion topics from Game and Fish's point of view has been the deer management meetings, which wrapped up this week with meetings in Jamestown and Bismarck and Fordville. Eight meetings held across the state. The week before last Monday night had been in Castleton. Eight meetings across the state. And I have to say that there was a lot of good discussion. And people showing up, archery hunters, muzzleloader hunters, rifle hunters, some which take part in all. Some do want to hunt with bows, muzzleloaders, and rifles. Some want to hunt with just a muzzleloader. That's just the tip of the iceberg. And what you heard right out of the gate was that these meetings were a discussion to bring hunters all onto the same page and understand the history of unitized deer hunting and the correlation between habitat and CRP and winters and the input of the North Dakota legislature and deer depredation. All of that stuff comes into play. So it was really an educational meeting for Game and Fish employees to understand where the hunting community is at, and also from the hunters to look at the nuts and bolts of archery deer tags and the increase in interest in archery hunting that we have seen statistically, matter-of-factly, in North Dakota. Not a shocker or surprise to anyone that hunts, because people love to deer hunt. And there's some people that love to deer hunt in as many ways, shapes, and form as possible that would have, in the past, were buying 10 tags and using them. Would love to hunt deer with a bow and with a rifle and with a muzzle loader. And as the deer population was reduced intentionally, not as rapidly as Game and, more rapidly than Game and Fish had wanted it to go, part of that, the correlation between the loss of extreme loss of CRP and habitat and the more harsh winters than what we had had. I won't say worse than average, but back-to-back-to-back, more severe winters than what we had had building the deer herd is probably a better way to look at it. As the deer rifle tag opportunity shrunk by design, those same hunters that maybe had just been using a rifle are now picking up a bow. Or if you did not get the tag that you wanted, are looking at other opportunities, and one of those is the archery tag and getting everybody on the same page and realizing that you've got X amount of deer on the landscape, a set level of opportunity. And is there a way to look at in the future, not for this year, but look at in the future how to more equally distribute opportunity? That's part of the questions. The answers were not written in pen, in stone, and dry. In fact, we're still taking comment from people in North Dakota until March 17th. You can go to the Game and Fish Department website, and you can provide your comments. If you weren't able to attend the meeting, or if you went to the meetings and had a few different thoughts that you were mulling over, or something kicked up in the back of church last week, or at the cafe, at the grocery store, or the watermelon, wherever it might have been, and you're like, hey, you know what? Game and Fish should hear about this. And you can do that on the Game and Fish Department website. Submit those comments and let us know. Now it's time to get a Central Dakota Outdoors report with Pat Stockdo. Pat is a very well-recognized outdoors communicator, an extremely talented outdoors communicator. You read her work in Minnesota Outdoor News, Dakota Country Magazine, and many other places. And she connects with bait shops, anglers, outfitters to get a better handle on where the activity, fishing activities particularly, is going on. Pat, what's cooking outdoors this week?
Welcome to the Central Dakota Outdoors Report, a look at fishing and outdoor activities throughout eastern North Dakota and the Missouri River system. Here we are, into March, and it still feels like the dead of winter. The lingering cold and windy weather continues holding some anglers back from venturing out onto area lakes. However, that being said, Devil's Lake remains fair to good for perch and walleye, with the best success around East Devil's Lake. Try Lake Irving for the best pike success, though. Stump Lake is also fair. Remember, moving around is key to overall success. Reports remain light from Pipestem Reservoir, Lake Ashtabula, and Spiritwood Lake, but anglers have been busy on Jamestown Reservoir, where they're finding a mix of species. Overall, though, most activity continues to center around small area lakes, where perch remain active in deeper water, depending on which Richland, Sargent, Ransom, McIntosh, Logan, Lemoore, or Barnes County lakes anglers are fishing. Try jigs, Swedish pimples, or hooks tipped with minnow heads, perch eyes, or waxworms. Weather permitting, anglers might find a decent walleye bite in 6 to 10 feet, jigging with minnow heads. You might also want to try minnows below bobbers. However, minnows are getting a little tough to come by in some areas. Rivers, though, are a different matter when it comes to fishing and success and even accessing them. There, anglers need to use caution on all area rivers, with spring drawdown underway on most area reservoirs. The bottom line is that ice is unsafe and unstable on the rivers. In addition, open water has been observed north of Cass County Road 20 in northern Cass County. Farther west, the Missouri River is still quiet, but anglers are finding walleye success on Lake Audubon as well as the east end of Lake Sakakawea.
As always, we appreciate Pat Stockdo with her insight and her accessibility and the information that she provides for us. You know who else does that? CJ Johnson does the exact same thing. CJ Johnson with a Minnesota Outdoors Report. He's on deck coming up on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Welcome back to the last hole to drill on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. A quick reminder, speaking of holes to drill, maybe CJ Johnson will be getting to that as well. But ice shack removal deadlines coming up in Minnesota and North Dakota. North Dakota, March 15th. Fishing doesn't close, and your opportunities to ice fish might be sticking around until Memorial Day. With as cold of weather we have had this week, you don't make as much ice anymore after you hit 30, 32 inches of ice. It takes a lot longer to make it, and quite frankly, you could drive a Mack truck across a lot of the lakes. But get out there and check those ice shacks, because the warmer temperatures we had a week and a half ago, seems like 100 years ago, melted the snow on the ice, especially around the edges of your ice shack, because that absorbs some of the heat from the sun as well. And you might be doing a little bit of chipping. Good time to bring the boys along with you and a couple of extra ice chisels to get that shack released from the grips of the ice. And now, let's take a look at the outdoor recreation activity in Minnesota. It's cold. It's the 1st of March, so we're getting out of the fishing time frame. As people, if you haven't been ice fishing enough yet, it's your own fault. We've been ice fishing since December as we begin to wind things down. And when we look at Minnesota, we call on our good friend CJ Johnson. You know him as a Lisbon, North Dakota native and spent his career covering the outdoors in Minnesota as well. And he's a regular feature on the Weekend Edition of Outdoors Live. CJ, thanks for joining us. How's things looking outdoors in Minnesota this week?
Well, not too bad, Doug, but as you know, Minnesota is one of those states where our fishing season for a lot of the big game fish closes, and ours is, and because Minnesota's fishing season is closed for basically walleyes, northern pike, trout, other major game fish on most of the inland waters now, okay, and a new 2014-15 Minnesota fishing license goes into effect on March 1 of this year, so licensed anglers, they're still allowed to fish year-round for panfish and rough species, and that includes popular species like crappies, sunfish, perch, and the less fished ones like whitefish, tootlebies, and eel pout as well. Eel pout, by the way, is a good fish to eat. It looks ugly as is all. Oh, boy, looking around to say real quick, short reports only because of the shorter season, if you will, of the smaller fish, panfish. Ben's bait and tackle up in Grand Rapids is reporting perch and bluegills are hitting about 7 to 16 feet down on Bass Lake. Crappies and sunfish, they're on Big Split Hand Lake, and crappies also on Little Split Hand. They're down about 20 feet right now. Tioga Bay on Lake Pokegamon, producing crappies, bluegills, and perch 13 to 30 feet. Trout Lake up in the Grand Rapids area, kicking out panfish in 7 to 16 feet. Basically, any good little hook and good little bait that you can get in the bait store, and they'll recommend it, will catch the panfish. Park Rapids area, Delaney's over in Park Rapids, says bluegills are hitting early and late each day, 12 to 15 feet of water, especially on Fishhook Lake and Island Lake. Big Man Trap Lake, popular lake in the Park Rapids area, kicking out a mixed bag of panfish in slightly deeper water, as is the Crow Wing chain of lakes in 12 to 14 feet right now for panfish. Alexandria area, Christofferson's Bait and Tackle says they're hitting on Lake Mary, 10 to 15 feet down, a Maple Lake, a little bit deeper, 18 feet, go a little deeper on Smith Lake, you'll find them about 25 feet down, and they're about 12 to 15 feet suspended on Lake Louise for sunfish and crappies. Crappie action picking up during the evening, especially on Reno Lake in the Alexandria area, but they are down 20 to 30 feet. Brad's Bait and Sports in the Wilmer area says look for suspended crappies about 30 feet down on the north side of the pier at Wilmer Foot Lake. Diamond Lake is producing sunfish during the days and crappies at night. They're down about 20 feet, and crappies and sunfish continue to be found suspended at about 30 to 35 feet in the northeast and northwest corners of Green Lake in the Wilmer area. It's a popular lake there, too. Our good friend Jamie Hanson over in the Otter Tail Lakes area reminds us, of course, that the season for walleye and northern park trout, largemouth bass, closed. Minnesota pan fishing in that area, though, continues. And for late and winter spring fishing, you want to try to locate the flat areas that are 7 to 12 feet down with vegetation, both standing and decaying right at this time of the year. Jamie says drill a lot of holes, and if you catch a bass or a pike by accident now, then you are close to the panfish, though many lakes are giving up great panfishing in the evening just at sunset. And Becca Art in Detroit Lakes reminds us again, walleye northern bass season all closed in the DL area. Panfish activity is continuing, and they've got plenty of ice right now. She says most activity has been on Little Detroit, Sally, Melissa, Tamarack, Floyd, and Big Pine Lakes in the Detroit Lakes area. They're still getting extremely cold temperatures for this time of year now and still making ice with double-digit below-zero temps at night and singles in the day, and it looks like the pattern up in the DL area is going to continue into the middle of next week. And, Doug, I remember one day I was helping out in a bait shop in northern Minnesota.
Okay.
Two good old southern boys come in, wanted to go ice fishing for the first time ever.
Oh.
Yeah, well, he rented all the equipment, auger, rods, heaters, ice house, even a nice little cabin out in the woods. I mean, they spent a fortune because they came up here, never ice fished before.
Sure.
So the first day they go ice fishing, they don't catch anything. Well, same thing happened on the second day and on the third day. Well, it goes on like this until finally, on the last day of their week-long vacation, one of the guys catches a fish. Well, they came back into the bait shop, ready to head back home, and they're really, really depressed. One of the guys turns to the other one and says, "Do you realize that this one lousy little fish that we caught cost us $1,500?
Oh, my.
Yeah, and the other good old boy who was chewing on a Little Debbie says, $1,500 for one fish? Well, that's a darn good thing we didn't catch any more. Ooh, remember, fishing's always great. It's the catching we got to work on.
And so are the Little Debbies as well. Great stuff, CJ, as always. We love the reports. We love the humor, the stories as well. CJ Johnson is a regular feature on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. CJ, thanks so much for your time, my friend.
Happy to be here anytime.
CJ Johnson is a regular feature on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. As we wrap things up this weekend, I want to make sure and remind you that you can check podcasts of this program available at kfgo.com. Thank you to Bob Harris, the executive producer of the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. There's podcasts. There's a blog updated a couple times each week as well at kfgo.com. And if you'd like to, you can email me. It's outdoorslive@gmail.com, outdoorslive@gmail.com. Check out those ice shacks, as I said earlier. You might have a lot of work ahead of you as the North Dakota deadline coming up on March 15th. Hopefully, one of these days, we can start talking about the snow geese. The season's been open for a couple of weeks, and hopefully one of these days they'll start getting closer. Nice thing is the snowpack isn't 4 feet deep. That's going to keep them further south, so it might not be shaping up to be, if spring ever arrives, too bad of a spring snow goose season. More on that next weekend. A big thank you going out to Bob Harris. And don't forget, 6:20 Monday morning, an Outdoors Live update, myself and the Big Kahuna. Until next time, I'm Doug Lear reminding you, as always, keep your lines tight and your powder dry. Have a great one out there.